Pop Life Podcast. Today is August 23rd, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I knew
Yeah,
that
I
because
had to think about it.
I knew that because Aunt Penny's birthday yesterday, August 22nd.
Happy belated, Aunt
Happy
Penny.
birthday! Yeah, she's a young 76.
Summer's over. I got first package
Summer's
to the
cooked.
professor on Monday.
Summer is
Yo,
cooked.
this shit went by in 3 weeks.
Yo, fall came through and was like, "Oh, y'all forgot about me?"
In August,
Early.
you're doing
Summer.
August, like, yeah,
Yeah.
even it's
Summer.
not cool here, but it's way cooler than it usually is this time of year in Atlanta.
Yeah.
Usually, it's still easily 90s, regularly. And here, it's like
Yeah.
today, it's like going to be 70 something. I don't know if it's from Aaron or it's just the climate change or a combo of the
A
whatever, but
combo.
it's.
It got into the 70s last week in Maryland, and I was like,
Yeah, like
I
not
said,
even
I'll
no
take it.
humidity.
I'll take it, but yeah.
Yeah. Ivy was pissed. We supposed to go to the pool. It was like last
Oh.
week of summer. We about to. I was like, nah, kiddo.
Pool,
Can't even do it.
pool is cooked. Pool days are done. You hold that for me.
Well, Maryland does this though. We'll get like another little spurt of extremely hot weather,
Yeah, in
I
like
think,
October.
in like September.
September,
We'll
it'll be
get one
boiling.
more, but that's
Yeah.
it.
Because I know when I would go, when I don't really go no more, when I would go to homecoming, like we never really knew what it was going to be because it could be fall weather or it could be feel like July,
Yeah,
you know? And
especially the closer you get to Halloween, you either wear a
and
full winter coat or nothing.
And homecoming is October, so that's exactly what it'll be. It's like you bring in your little jean jacket or you bring in a tank top, you know what I'm saying? But how y'all doing out there? How y'all doing today?
I'm struggling. This week has been, I don't even know. I feel like everybody I know had a really trying week, and I am no exception. So, I don't know.
Well, Lord saw you through. You made it through the end of the week, Lord.
Yet holding on.
You made it through, so God bless you. I want to give a shout out to a couple of things. I want to give a shout out to all the young college students that started school probably within the last week or so, right? They all went back
Yeah.
around too.
Yeah.
Yeah, so God bless them to all the freshmen and everything.
My neighbor, my boy just took his daughter down to Hampton.
Okay. Yeah, I hear a lot of it. I had to take my son to Hampton or Howard or wherever. I took my daughter down to Spelman and da da da. So yeah, so God bless and good luck to them for the next 4 years or maybe five.
Yeah.
Graduate.
Big shout out to a friend of the show, Reagan Gomez Preston. She took her
Oh
daughter
yeah.
down to school in Hawaii this week, and she
Yeah.
just joined
So.
TikTok, so it's really, really sweet to see all the
Yeah,
vlogs and stuff.
Reagan is wildly active on TikTok. She joined
Yeah, like
that show
came
went
through and crushed the builders, 10
crazy.
videos a
Word.
day. Big shout
She
out
went
to
crazy. Went over there went crazy.
her.
Yeah, she's going crazy. So if you want to see Reagan, besides waiting for her on TV, go to TikTok and she posts about 2 3 4 times a day. She posts some shit. But let's see, where we gonna start at? You know where I'm gonna start at? With this, have y'all been keeping up with this male cheerleading story
Oh, the NFL?
in the NFL? Yeah, so
I saw it briefly. I'm sure niggas are mad about it. Please
they
continue.
so tight. So yeah, there's male cheerleaders now on so I don't know almost on every team, but the main focus team I've been seeing is the Minnesota Vikings.
The
They have
Vikings have two men on their squad.
two guys on there, and
I mean,
hey.
not for nothing. College. Okay, so I went to an SEC school, which is football. We had male cheerleaders. Granted, they were mostly like spotters back then.
Yeah, the
It
more
wasn't.
advanced your stunts, the more you just need
Yeah.
a guy. We had a guy
So,
on our high school squad.
yeah. So, I mean, granted, now, especially if you are talking about a more black squad or a stomp and shake squad, the cheerleaders are cheerleaders. The male cheerleaders are like, they're doing the same stuff. But, I
Same
mean,
team.
male cheerleaders was never. Not a thing. It just didn't have it in the NFL. Like I'm used to seeing a line of men behind the girls, you know?
Well,
Jimmy
I
Carter
think
or
the
somebody, a
difference.
cheerleader.
I think the difference here is that these particular cheerleaders are more pom pom cheerleaders and
Okay.
basketball
Yeah,
cheerleaders.
they're cheerleading. They're doing all the
Yes.
moves and yeah.
Yeah, like they got their makeup on too, and you know, they do, you know,
Yeah.
like, and so I haven't heard much of, I mean, I've seen it. I know about it. I'm indifferent to it because I'm not
Me
watching,
too.
like I'm not tuning into a Vikings game to see the cheerleaders. So
Yeah.
it's inconsequential to me.
I feel like TVs don't even, the cameras don't even really zoom in on the cheerleaders like that anymore, like they used
Only in
to.
Dallas.
They don't, but what the cheerleaders do, and what many people don't necessarily know is that the cheerleading squad is really like a PR squad. So that's who does a lot of your local stuff. Oh, we're doing this after school program. We're going to send the cheerleaders go and
Yeah, open up a new
like,
supermarket. We're gonna be out
yeah.
there,
Yeah,
you know.
the Saints cheerleaders was at my wedding. You know what I'm saying? Like, 'cause they
Yeah.
everybody knows a Saints fan. You know what I'm saying? So like, this is what they do. So, I get it, right? Like, I totally get it, and I just don't know what the. To me, sometimes I think sometimes people take on battles that are maybe a little unnecessary, and I don't know if the call for having male cheerleaders in the NFL was so strong that this is the hill that the Vikings needed to die on, so to speak. You know, I just feel like we're just, you know, at this point, we're just kind of, you know, doing shit a little bit to kind of, and listen, you guys, I don't care.
Well,
Right?
that's what I was
Like,
gonna say. My
with the
problem
Stephen
is,
A. Smith, I
like,
have
we don't
no
care.
issue.
My problem is not problem. Let me rephrase, because I don't have a problem with it. Because to Sean's point, I don't care. Like, equality and equity and cheerleading is not something that's been heavily on my mind.
It
Even though I want to say cheering is a sport, cheering is a
is
fucking sport.
absolutely
It's a
a
fucking
hard
sport.
sport, a
Cheering
hard
is a
sport,
fucking sport, a hard sport.
and
But
you can die.
yeah,
Ask me how I
aside from
know.
that, I got a bad knee now because I cheered 1 year in college. You know what I'm saying? So it's like that's and it was a, and it was like
Don't
when I
blame
got
that
to
on your
city
one
and I was just on the
semester.
Stomp and Shake squad for the basketball team.
Hold on, my knee.
Yeah, like for doing the damn death drop, whatever. Anyway, so but cheering is a sport. But that said, any changes that anybody makes right now towards greater diversity, people are like, oh, the left wanted it that, like, for example, not to get on a segue, but this is a good segue. Cracker Barrel took the old cracker and
I
the
had to bring
barrels
down.
out of their
Bring down.
logo, and people are acting like black folks wanted that. No, those of us who eat at Cracker Barrel, we actually prefer the racism in the Cracker Barrel because it's what seasons the catfish and the country ham and the biscuits. I want to see the cracker and the barrel on the logo.
Period. We went
Nobody
yesterday. It was
black.
fantastic.
Nobody black was calling for them to take Uncle Herschel off the Cracker Barrel. Like, it's
We had no problem on Herschel.
hi, Ivy.
Had no problem. Hi, Ivy.
I had no
No
problem.
problem on
I
Herschel.
have no problem walking through the country store and all this, you know, and the whole and feeling like people maybe calling me a jigaboo, maybe not. Like, I'm
Probably.
fine because I can eat catfish, country ham, biscuit, grits, egg, like all that, and pay them like $5.36
Breakfast be hitting,
and
boy.
go about my way. Like, it's fine. So don't look at us for the Cracker Barrel logo. Don't look to us about the chip. Like, we ain't got nothing to do with that.
Like
There's
you said,
greater
if they
things.
can do anything,
Yeah.
you know, in this today's time, you know,
I wonder too if this is sort of made up shit, like pushed from the right to argue.
Possibly. Could be.
Because I just
Everything's
feel
made
like
up. It's all
I
theater.
what I'm saying is, it's like literally no one has asked for this. Not
Nobody.
one person.
No, yeah, it was
No one.
never an issue. It was not
No
an
one in
issue.
the wilds has ever said it would be like saying, "Hey, Waffle House, stop hiring people who fight."
No
No one has ever said
one, that's a job
that.
requirement. Yeah, like and honestly, I was surprised given that Cracker Barrel's, you know, usually mostly in southern states and mostly located near interstates, so a lot of their traffic does tend to be like truckers, you know, like
Truckers,
kind of
folks,
same
yeah,
thing, but and you
people
know,
traveling with
after church
family.
folks, yeah, but it's like. I was actually surprised at the switch up because I was like, this is a very it made the brand bland because
I wonder what caused the switch up. Like, what
I
is it?
went the
What
maybe they're
was
just
the
getting more modern. I think they were due for a remodel
Yeah.
anyway. The
But
floors are still greasy as fuck. The
they
chairs
even
are
took
not
out
comfortable.
no, but they even took out the Old Country store part at the bottom of the logo. And the store is like a big part of, for those who've
But
never been to Cracker Barrel.
I think they're opening a few more that don't have the store in the front.
Okay,
That's just the restaurant. So I think they're
maybe they're
just
expanding beyond, because there are a
expanding.
couple, like there's one somewhere in Jersey. There are a couple above the Mason-Dixon, like a couple. But for those who've never been to a Cracker Barrel, but you've heard things about it, let me explain to you. Yes, you might feel like you hear a banjo, like the Deliverance theme song playing distantly as you walk in the store. Yes, it's some old white woman with a heavy Southern accent and
And a whole lot of eyeliner.
them old school nurse shoes, like not, like the, what I'm talking about, them joints who maybe look like she could have maybe look like Florence, not Florence, but the other one from Mel. What was it? The one who you say, Chris, kiss my grits
That's
on my.
Florence. That's Florence.
That's I
Kiss
thought Florence,
my grits.
okay, her.
Yeah.
Look like her. Oh yeah, Alice was okay. Looks like Florence from Mel's Diner. Like
Old nigga podcast.
maybe it's gonna be a old dude, boss hog looking dude, white dude with like a shirt and some suspenders
And he's
out
helping you
the
out with the
clock.
rocking chairs out front.
Yeah, like it, and maybe it's a table full of white people that all turn around to look at you and your family when you come in and sit down. Those things are all cut. You might find.
It's part of it.
It's
It's
part of
part
it.
of
You might find
it.
a doll in blackface in the country store. I don't know. I don't really be looking through the country store like that. But let me tell you
Right?
something. That food is
It's primary.
hidden. And
Somebody is seasoning that food.
somebody
Yeah,
is
somebody
seasoning
grandmother
that
that's
food.
walk around the blacks.
There is no other chain restaurant where I can go and know my country ham gonna be right. And no, I can get catfish and grits. Chain restaurant, not soul food restaurant. Chain restaurant. I get catfish and grits, and it's cheap. It's cheap as hell. It is a delight. I have no issue pulling up to a Cracker
I think
Barrel
black
ever.
people have no issue with Cracker Barrel. We know what it is. It's like in Kentucky. So there's in Kentucky there's they have the Quakers, which are akin to the Amish, not quite the same, but similar. And
I feel like they're a little kinder than the Amish.
they're a little
Yeah.
kinder. And so you go out to the Quaker country, and they everything is fresh. They have these restaurants in the area, and it's all fresh. It's like straight, what's it called? Farm to
Farm
table.
the table.
And the food is un fucking believable. It is so good. The fried chicken, because the chickens is coming right out to you can see them. All that, so it's like some white folks
Like they
learn.
march and pass a table for the table to
Yeah, literally, no, literally
the
though. Like literally though. So some white folks have learned to cook, and like, the Quakers are definitely kinder than the Amish, but it's still it's that's their shit. That's their there. You kind of want to be out there at the dark, but it is what it is. But the food is crazy.
But
So
they
you
get
go
busy.
there,
Yeah.
they get busy. Go out there and you have the food, have a good time, they pour you your sweet tea and lemonade, and you get to have fun. You don't expect them to be moderate or liberal. You didn't bring that
Yeah.
up. You just going out there to eat. You know
Yeah, I've never had a poor experience at the Cracker Barrel. I've never been,
what I'm
nobody's
saying?
been rude to me or anything like that.
Yeah.
It's just,
That's what it is.
it
That's
just
what it is.
felt racist in there. But I will say they've done a little bit of a
That
change before now where they took down, like, before, like,
like the
way back,
battle
you would
flags and stuff.
see, like, Confederate flags. You would see, like, people posed on porches in those like old clothes, and like the black people kind of sitting on the porch too in the front in tattered clothes. It would be stuff like that where you're like, oh, we this is crazy. Like
This
if you
is
start
no
to look
shit.
really close. So they
Word.
took that kind of stuff away. But I think the restaurant just was ready for
Another
something new to kind of keep up with the times. And then a lot of them need a little bit of work anyway. But I want to say, like, for the cheerleaders, just like one thing, niggas be gay.
A lot of
Every
niggas.
day, all
Also
extremely, and
extremely,
very gay,
it's
extremely.
extremely homoerotic to be such a huge fan of sports teams anyway. Football specifically, because what are you watching? A whole lot of y'all
They
in the
not, and you
stands
know, Sean and
are
Sean said
also
they gonna
looking
beat
at that ass,
that.
running up and down the field
Looking at
and
that ass.
jumping on
Looking at
another
that ass.
man.
Looking
So
at
like, if we are
that
upset
ass.
about effeminate presenting men on the
Right.
sidelines, what exactly are we like? Can we
Yo,
please be so fucking for real right
I
now?
think
Right.
about men on film in the on In Living Color when they used to be like all them men's and all them tight clothes just running up and down the field,
Sweaty
his
and
body's just glistening, and you know, like that, all of them with the just the tight shirts on and
because yes,
I
because it's wildly homoerotic. It is a fantasy.
I really
Stop
don't
it.
understand the homophobia thing, and maybe it's because the way growing up, it's like there was a lot of gay cats in the neighborhood. This what it, and it was what it was.
None of
Like
this
you
is
know,
new.
And it's still this
huh?
idea that, like, if you are a man who likes, same gendered men, I mean, who likes other the same gender, you must be a sissy, when we've that's been disproven over and over and over
And
and they've been
also,
fighting all their
and
lives.
also,
They've
and
been fighting all their
also,
lives.
and also, I can say about to say you can fuck around with a sissy, and I don't want to say sissy because that's not the right word. You can fuck around with a gay cat if you want and get your ass kicked.
Rocked.
Them fools can fight, bro. Like
I will tell you with 100% certainty that as a New York City club bouncer, there are two people, the two worst fights that you ever want to try and break up in a club are women and gay men. You are going to earn your fucking money that night if because that shit is. Men, first of all, niggas is tired after about a smooth 7 seconds of
They be looking
swinging.
around, they try to break this shit up.
Niggas gonna get three swings in, and they huffing and puffing and tired.
Yeah, but I got
You
all the
niggas can
energy to pull your hair
all the
rest of the
energy,
night.
all the super, super difficult. I mean, listen, I do think that there's a big, I think that in football and sports in particular, there is definitely a lot of bromance that gets sort of like pushed under the rug, and it's kind of a lot of it is like you kind of like this nigga, don't you? You know, like kind of
Yeah,
like
you going
you
extra
got a little
hard.
crush, you
Yeah,
got a little crush on this nigga, man. Like
like
you going super.
it's so much. And then
Male groupies
people
are
always
male
talk about
groupies are
the
crazy.
stories of the locker rooms and the ass slapping and the this and the that. And it's so yeah, it's just, and not saying it is or it's not, but it's just like, it's not, it is a bunch of dudes in tight pants and belly shirts running up and down the field. Like,
The last
up
thing I
until
think.
the early 90s, you be practice, you be in
I'm
football
agree with
practice, your
you
shirt barely
though.
be over your little pecs, you know?
So the last thing I will say is that what we have seen, particularly in the last decade, is a super concentrated effort for the military, and a lot of these law enforcement agencies to use football as a partner,
And
particularly
recruiting
within
tool,
football,
yeah.
as a recruiting tool. And so I think that a lot of that comes from this, right? A lot of that comes from yet another, and this is what I meant earlier by no one was necessarily asking for this, is that it turns into yet another sort of air quotes pervasive thing that you're trying to, an agenda, so to speak, that you're trying to push on us because there was no real outcry for this.
Yeah,
And
you're right.
so look, by all means, it doesn't matter to me what makes those people happy. God bless if they can make the team, let them make the team. Again, I watch the
But they
Saints.
also
I
don't
have
get paid
never.
no money.
They just get like $35 in a
Yeah.
chicken dinner. Like, well, I
Amen.
mean, we're talking,
Word.
they are 100%. I am 100% certain there are labor laws being broken with them.
Absolutely.
It's not a doubt in my mind. Okay. So, let those figure. I mean, what are we talking about? Three people? We talking about
Yeah.
three people, right?
Yeah.
Like,
Yeah.
we always do this thing where it's at the foot of Congress, and we have to have this. And then
Yeah.
when you actually peel back the onion, it's like, so we did this for a kid that ran a 5-3 in Texas,
Yeah.
in the worst division in the world. Like,
Yeah, but now we got to change the law.
what are we actually arguing about here?
Yo,
You're
you know how
wasting
much
time.
you gotta love cheer to do that shit in Minnesota?
as a grown up.
Nigga.
My kids, these are, I mean, these are like, you know,
In
they're not
some tights
older
and
than their
shit.
20s. Yeah, they're 20 something years old.
Nigga.
You
Wow.
know?
To
But,
just to do anything that requires you being outside of Minnesota?
well, they indoors in Minnesota now because it's too cold. They got indoor stadium.
They have a dome, yeah. But
Okay.
still, the point stands.
Let
Yo.
them cook, bro. Man,
You
let
ain't
them.
gonna see him anyway. It's fine.
Yeah, exactly. Like, let them cook. I never got that. I never got it. I don't get it. But
Like,
anyway.
if your son watches, happens to see a Vikings game and a cheerleader decide they want to cheer, that was gonna happen anyway, bro.
That's
Like,
what
I
I'm
just,
saying.
I, it
He's
was, it
not
was
getting sweaty.
coming.
Yeah,
It was coming regardless.
all he's doing is getting enforcement by seeing that. If he wanted to do it anyway, but now he's like, oh, I can, you know? But anyway, a funny thing, I guess it's funny, I don't know. So Meg Thee Stallion is dating Klay Thompson now.
And I love it.
They seem to be a really good couple and really happy. And she's around him, she's very calm, you know, but she, well, for her, because you know she could be spiteful, but she's very calm.
Somebody asked her what she likes about him, and he said she was the nicest person she ever met. And I was like, that's
And
perfect.
he
That's
literally
perfect.
needs nothing from her. He's not into music. Obviously, he's got tons of money. He needs nothing. He's there because he wants to be, not because he's trying to figure out how to, you know, kind of come up. But there's been tick. So they post it, and it's funny because we've never seen Clay's personality because previous to this, he never posted like you only really saw him play. You don't really, I never really heard him talk much. He doesn't really do many interviews. So we're seeing him, his personality a lot more now because Meg is very active on social media. So, and they're together all the time. So, especially now because he's getting ready to go to training camp soon. So I'm sure they're spending as much time as they can before he goes, even though he's only in Dallas, he's not going far. But anyway, so she, apparently Clay, you know, he's a California kid. His dad played NBA ball. So he grew up, well off and not in the South. And so Clay, I think I don't know if he's in LA or Seattle, but he's a West Coast kid regardless. But so Clay had never had fish and spaghetti before. So
Yeah, I
Meg
saw this.
made him fried catfish and spaghetti. And this has now turned into like his favorite meal ever.
He's
And
not
he's
shit
like,
every week. That nigga,
every
I
week.
still
He's
do not eat. gone.
I
He's
still do
never
not
coming
eat
home.
fish and spaghetti as fish is a entree and spaghetti is a side. Spaghetti is an entree. I don't need two
We're not
entrees.
having that battle right now. I'm
Yeah,
just saying. We can't do that right now. It's
my grandmother used to
way
make
too
that all the
long.
time. It was fucking
Still,
delicious.
I still don't know.
It's
But
delicious. Is it a
delicious.
meal that you should like?
It's
No,
that's
but
just
it's
really
delicious.
some
I'm telling you.
Texas and
This is
Midwest
very
shit. I
southern.
just
My mother's
y'all
from
keep that.
Alabama, so you know, but it was phenomenal.
Spaghetti as a side is wild anyway. But
That's
that
what
is
I'm saying.
opinion.
Why are we doing that? Okay, never mind.
Because
Anyway.
I had no, they didn't have options. But anyway, so they're making that, but not, you know, not so. Of course, the deep southern people, the Louisiana and Texas people, are like, well, you know what that means, right? Because you know the rumors
Oh,
are
the
in.
spaghetti.
You know, you put a little something in the spaghetti, and it makes the man obsessed with
Not
you.
saying she putting the blood in the spaghetti. Are we still saying
He's
that?
obsessed with
Absolutely.
her before the spaghetti. I love this for her. I think
Wait.
they're adorable together.
Oh, it's adorable.
Let's relax.
Wait, do the kids still grow up with adults telling them not to let no woman make no red, nothing
You
red?
know what?
I
I
don't think
don't
adults
know.
are telling kids anything,
Yeah,
actually.
I think the we lose the
I think
recipes.
we just out here.
Losing recipes.
Think she would have been fine without the spaghetti.
Yeah.
I don't think she's ever had
But
any issues without the spaghetti. She was gonna be
I am
right there.
curious though. Did y'all get that Jeff and Sean like don't let a woman cook you
Yeah,
nothing to eat?
I would
yeah,
hear that. I would hear
yeah.
that.
I hear
No one I loved ever said no dumb shit like that to me.
it.
This was always like niggas on the bench, you know, old
Okay. There you
niggas.
go.
Niggas in
Right.
the park.
Yeah,
Niggas in the
Very
playground. Park. Yeah.
barbershop. Yeah.
And
It's
yeah.
very barbershop.
Yeah, it's very, yeah. Shit, I don't play. I gotta watch her make the spaghetti sauce because you know what they say.
You
Like,
think
oh.
I'm gonna ruin an entire pot of spaghetti
Like,
over
I
your
gotta eat this shit
dusty
too.
ass? You already
Yeah.
here. Come on. That's so funny.
You gotta
Get
talk
out
to
of here.
Dusty and everything. Shit.
Not you.
I also want to mention, we haven't talked about it. So it seemed to be, maybe I'm mistaken, but it felt like this year, Martha's Vineyard Black people's pilgrimage to Martha's Vineyard that's been going on for a century,
Ever.
probably, right? At least a century, maybe more, actually. No,
Yeah.
probably more have been going to Martha's Vineyard and some other enclaves as well to summer. It felt like this summer, the spotlight was a little brighter. It felt like it was a little more people.
Yes, because the Ralph Lauren campaign started right before the
And,
season.
and,
The
and,
Ulta
for,
Plus,
and,
the
for,
Ulta Plus campaign.
and forever.
It was a couple of things. Forever, which depicted that Martha's Vineyard
Right.
episode like beautifully.
Yep.
And then before that, it was this show,
Oh yeah,
Summer
that what
House
was
Martha's Vineyard, but
yeah.
they canceled unexpectedly. People were looking for a new season of that. So it was like, oh, all these young people who are not exactly rich can go down there. Maybe we should try for next summer. And I think it just kind of
This is
blew
kind of
up from
kicking in.
there. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think the conversation about it got bigger, because what I saw this summer that I haven't seen before was a lot of kind of like, how dare you niggas be down there while we're fighting
The
oppression.
elitism
And
was huge, yeah.
my thing is like,
Another vacation.
yeah, like there are people, I don't like, do people understand there are folks who literally, this has been August for them, their whole entire, like, this is, it's four generations of motherfuckers down there. You know what I mean? Because yes, there are some come latelys, right? And people who are just now getting onto it. But for the majority of people I know, and let me first put an asterisk by that saying, my family wasn't a family who summers, because my grandmother didn't like the beach, and I have been mad about it my entire life. Like, why we ain't got a house in Sag? Why we ain't got a house? Whatever. But when I say people I know, I need to acknowledge that my circle is largely like multi-generational college educated people. So I recognize that, you know, Greeks, HBCU grads, all of that. But the majority of people I know who do the Vineyard, or even who do Sag, like Sag Harbor in the Hamptons, which is the
Black
black
enclave.
village in the Hamptons, the quote unquote black village in the Hamptons, like their families own. They've been going out there for
So it's
generations. Like it's a thing. And if you ever actually see photos like of people's whole experience, there's gonna be at some point a picture of everybody and the kids. It's a family trip. Like, if it's just like, you can go as a single, but you might be like the only single in the house.
it's
You are
not.
Auntie such and such, because them kids is in the house. It ain't no such thing as like a party house for
No.
there, unless the kids are older, right? Like, it's a thing.
Unless
Your
it's like
mama
a
there.
weekend rental, and this is a thing that like your friends do every, which is
And
what the show was.
the kids
Right.
grow up
That's not,
together, you
it's not really that. Like, you're there for like a week or more, and it's usually two, three, four families in a house, and that include, and the kids have their stuff that they do. The adults have their stuff that they do. You hobnob, you socialize, you do your HBCU shit, your Greek shit.
on the beach and fucking
And like, yeah, you might go to a party or
lobster
two, but
rolls
you're not like,
and
yeah,
yeah,
you're
who
not
it is.
really out there popping bottles,
Don't
falling out.
bring no dressy shit. You know what I'm saying?
As
Not
with
people.
everything else, I think it's just exposure. Like, last year, I wasn't watching TikToks of people like, let's go to Costco before we put our car on the ferry to go to Martha's Vineyard. Like, that shit didn't exist 2 years ago. So I think the more we find out about shit, even like the Irish, or not Irish, the Scottish black people, we always knew that people were there. Like, we always knew that Martha's Vineyard was where black people went. We just never saw it on
No,
this
nobody knew
level.
what the vibe was. You know what I'm saying?
Nobody knew the
Like,
vibes. And now
nobody
that
really.
we know, niggas gonna be out there. That's
And
just.
we discovered there's not a huge Scottish black population, but there is one, and some of them have been there for like a long time.
Generation.
They
And
show up in
I'm
2010.
descendant from some of them. Cochran is a Scottish name. I've never traced it all the way back, but damn, some way back in there.
Some black folks been over there for like several, generations. They've been there in
But
Ireland,
also, they seem a
Scotland.
lot like Black Americans. They're not
They really
as,
do.
like, there's this friction with us and the Brits, but like with them, it was like instant, you know, we
Connection.
cool, y'all cool, let's do this.
The brothers
Catchies.
are the most emotional. But I can't remember his name, so I apologize. The piece of the cat who developed the Polo brand, Martha's Vineyard brand. He's a Morehouse grad, and he worked at Polo and presented it to Ralph directly, somehow got to Ralph and presented it, and Ralph was with it and allowed him to he gave him like a little arm of polo and allowed him to
Awesome.
create it. He's like,
He's done this. He's done this in the past,
Yeah,
and they
he
have
did because
very.
he did the Spell House collection.
Yeah, this is not new.
Yeah,
None of does Justin know him, bro? Was he there with Justin? Is he a little older?
I think he's much, not much older, but way old. He was gone, I think, by the time Justin got there. I think that kid is maybe like 34, 35 at this point. But yeah, he's done this before. He's done this in the past. He's had, I mean, we saw Spike with it. I mean, that was his, that was the first person I've seen with it, with the big M and sweatshirts and all that stuff. And some of that stuff is really, really nice and beautiful clothes and really, really high end. And yeah, I don't know why people are upset. I think oftentimes what we also do is on the internet, right? There's one utterly ridiculous person that says something, and then what ends up happening is because content creators now use other people as their content, they take that one person, and so now there are 15 responses
To
to
that
the
one
one to
stupid
that one,
comment.
right? And this kid was talking about that, that ain't polo or,
Well, I think
and
it's somebody
again,
also said it's not representative of black people. And like, I hate to tell y'all,
yes,
all black people ain't get it out the mud. Like, that's
it was the
not.
same, it was the same clip. He said all of that. What I'm saying is he said all of that in the same clip. I did not see multiple, I'm sure he was not the only person, right? But what I'm saying is I did not see multiple clips of people trying to say that this is Martha's Vineyard. Not only has it's obviously been a thing if you know anything about black people, right? You know that this has been a thing for a very long time. But also, this is the Inkwell. This is Matty Rich's movie from like fucking 94 or 93 or whatever, right? Like so the idea that well-to-do black people going to Martha's Vineyard is not, none of that is new.
None of
And
it. None of it.
I think it has gotten more popular, obviously, with social media and obviously as the demo changes, right? So the people who are now the executive level people who are now making decisions and have disposable income who can go down and rent a house for a week. But let me be clear,
It ain't
it is
cheap.
not cheap.
Oh, it ain't
It
cheap.
is not cheap by a long
And you
shot.
have to plan it by
Like
September.
now, you better start planning for next year. Like now,
You're not just gonna off top be like, I think I'm gonna go,
sleep
unless
up
you're
here for the
going to
weekend.
somebody else's house, you're not gonna be like, I think I'm gonna fall through the vein. Like, no, that's not a thing that's gonna.
It doesn't. It definitely doesn't work that way. It definitely ends up like we went a couple of times. It's not really my bag, and it was probably because it was just terrible weather. For like 2 years, so like 2 years in a row, we went. It was just kind of like really drab and dreary. We just wasn't really feeling it. And to be honest with you, again, I was pissed because I ended up, I'm gonna just say numbers. I ended up renting a car, man, and I'm fucking driving a minivan. That shit was like $2,700
Yo,
for the week.
renting a car on the
God
island,
damn.
renting
In a
a car on
minivan,
the island, it's like it literally is like four times what it's gonna be.
bro.
It's
I
insane.
was driving, first of all, your boy was driving a minivan. That shit was on my never to do list, my nigga. Ever. There's no drip, my nigga. You get no looks
Nothing.
hopping out the sliding door of a minivan,
Heard.
my nigga. Like nothing. Nothing. You're not moving the
Not the
needle at
sliding.
all.
Yeah, man.
So to me, it just kind of became a lot of work, not a lot of fun. We have some friends that have a home down there, a beautiful home. And actually, the time that we had gone 1 year, and then it was like bad weather when we were supposed to leave out because it was just shitty weather that whole week. And then we left the rental and ended up staying at their home for a few days that was off cycle, so to speak. So like everyone had left the island, and the island was a little bit more back to normal. And I enjoyed that more than
More.
anything. Just having just not having the crowd and the freedom and just kind of being able to see
45 minutes to
things.
get an ice cream cone and shit like that.
It was just a different, it was just a different experience. And I get it, people go down there and it's a beautiful experience. I really, particularly if you're of that Jack and Jill-ish space. Like it's a great space for your kids to go, right? Like they get to do the teenage thing and you know, they're kind of off on their own. And of course there's, you know, somebody trying to get their first kiss, you know, in a corner somewhere and all that stuff. I mean, it's cool. It's a great vibe,
It's
but
also easy to run into people. When I was at the, I didn't go this year just because I'm not, I went last year and it's so, and the week I would have, it's so close. August is just for me, I'm realizing that maybe I'll be over this next year, but as a still relatively new full-time professor, August is too, it's too hectic for me to really try to travel when I gotta like start prepping for back to school. And last summer I did it. I want to say I left the Vineyard. I came back, went to the Missy tour, left, went to the DNC, came back, went to school, right? Like it was like a whole whatever. And I was worn out. But I last year I was on like the main strip downtown that everybody goes to, and I ran into like five families I know just being there. You know what I'm saying?
Walking,
Like
walking, just
kids
walking.
I ain't seen in forever, like, you know, because I might see the parents and I ain't seen the kid, you know, just like all, just literally just standing there, like just being there, getting a burger, getting something, getting a hoodie, getting whatever, like just
Black dog shirt.
randomly. Yeah, just like
Everybody black dog. Black dog
I
is.
already have like a really great Black Dog sweatshirt and it's really thick and heavy. I actually had gone to get there's one shop specifically that has Greek paraphernalia, and I was going to see what they had that was for Greeks. But I just ended up getting this Inkwell sweatshirt that I really love, instead of picking up another Black Dog piece. But yeah, I just ran into mad people I knew there. You know what I mean? It's just that part of it is very family reunion. It's very that. It's very, very that. Yeah.
So piece of the Vineyard crowd. I want to mention, I know I'm the only one that's dealing with this. This is me. This is not the Popeye. This is me.
Oh.
I watched the Jussie Smollett documentary. You know,
Yeah,
so
I'm not
I'm
watching.
gonna talk. Y'all don't have to say nothing. So I actually think the documentary for what is very well done because it's they present the case,
Is the
right?
case, did this nigga lie or not? Is that what the doc is?
That's the basis of it. And they present both sides. It's very even. They present Jesse on some bullshit, but then they present Chicago PD's on some bullshit. And they present both sides, and they don't lean one way or the other. And at the end, they don't conclude anything. It's like, okay, you got the evidence on this side, you got the evidence on that side. Then they get kind of give you updates on some of the people that are in the documentary, like the two brothers and the head of the who was the head of the Chicago PD who got fired, and Jesse, of course. But they just say these are the updates, but they don't say at the end, they don't say anything. It's up to you to decide. And honestly, I couldn't decide because both sides is on some bullshit, and it's like, you know, and both sides have some points. So it's like, I don't really know if this nigga did it or not. But I will say they presented evidence, a lot more evidence, I think, that we got in the press to say maybe he wasn't lying. It's very interesting how they do it because, like I said, at the end they leave it very open ended. There's, you know, footage. I don't want to spoil it, but there's footage and stuff that they show. It's like, I don't know.
Feel free to spoil. It's fine.
Okay, so they got this foot. They find okay. They do the whole thing. They have obviously this just happened a few years ago. So they have all this footage. They show Jussie walking into the building, you know, by himself at 3 in the morning with the subway thing, and him and Frank Gaston. That Frank Gaston is his artistic director, or whatever. And Jussie's got. They show Jussie with the noose on his neck, the cops, you know, from the cops body cam and all that type of shit, and the interview. And so you're like, okay, then all this evidence starts coming out that it was the two brothers, and they show how they track the brothers through, you know, the cameras in that area. And the brother says, yeah, Jussie asked us to do this because he wasn't happy with his salary. This is what they're saying. I'm not saying it's right,
No, I
right or wrong.
remember that being a
Yeah,
story.
that was the story. He wasn't
He was
happy with his
trying to
salary.
get the studio to take.
Yeah, one of the brothers was his trainer. And
Right, I remember that too.
so he asked the brothers to beat him up. This caused a story because he wasn't happy with his salary. Jussie, on the other hand, says, I was very happy with my salary. I was getting paid very well, and I was starting to direct episodes, so I was getting paid double. I didn't have issues with, he keeps saying, Fox treated me well. I was not angry with Fox. So the brothers lay out this whole story, and Jesse, of course, is denying it, and then Jesse gets convicted. But then the brothers is like, come find out they kind of on some bullshit because, of course, they want to be actors and stars as well. And it's just like this whole thing, and it goes on, and then they find this footage because of the footage they send is the piece of footage where one black security guard says he saw the white guy. But then they show footage of him coming out of the building, and then the footage they lose 10 seconds of the footage. So it's like, okay, here's a Chicago PD or some bullshit. So there's all these things going on throughout the documentary that really kind of make you go, I don't really know who's telling the truth here because both sides are kind of doing funny shit,
Everybody's on some bullshit, right?
So you can obviously watch it if you want, but it's
I
not, I
won't.
don't think the documentary is what people think it was gonna be, because I thought, like, probably most people was
So it's
gonna
gonna be an expose.
exactly go
Who?
just the bullshit, but it's really not.
But I'm very curious. Who produced this? Because where was the demand for
I'm
it?
sure.
Who said I need to tell this Jussie
Oh,
Smollett? Think
no producer,
Who's documentary?
the people who did Tinder Swindler. And another big documentary they did for Netflix too. So they're a real big production company.
Okay. I think
Anyway.
Hulu just does this.
Yeah.
Also that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's gonna get eyes, but it's gonna get eyes, for what it's worth. It's gonna get a lot of eyes, it's gonna get a lot of looks and people talking. So I don't know. But I enjoyed it. And again, I don't know who's telling the truth. I don't know. I don't know. And
You
I
know what? You know what I'm watching right now?
that.
Is The West Wing, because it feels good to
I never watched
watch
it.
a president be a president.
Would be decent.
That's what I'm watching. President Bartlet is amazing. That show is incredible and really groundbreaking in just like the film aspect of it. So that whole like walking really fast and following people through hallways while they're doing this long dialogue that came from Aaron Sorkin,
Aaron
who made this
Sorkin,
show.
yeah.
Huge, like just watching it that specifically in its infancy is really interesting, and it's a great show. It's a good story. That's what I'm watching.
I watched this other show, which is really good. It's called Damascus.
Oh
But
yeah, I heard about them.
it's really good. It's on Tubi, actually.
It's on Tubi. Yeah, that's why I
I
haven't watched it yet,
think
because I refer
it
refused to open that
was,
app.
I don't know if it was one of the big streamers. I
Yeah,
think I
but
want.
it was on another streamer and they canceled it. Was it?
They canceled it. They
Yeah.
canceled it, and then it languished. And then Tubi picked it up. It's really good. It's six episodes. It's about this guy named I keep wanting to call him Demarcus, but it's Damascus. He's a DC guy. His mom passed away, and he's kind of going through almost Black Mirror-ish kind of in a way. But there's a lot of humor. Like Martin's in it. He got a couple of big gets in it because he's supposed to be from DC, and. To me, this is right because I don't know. I guess it's like 2, 3 years ago when they taped it. It looks like right around the time that Martin had allegedly had his stroke because Martin's got a cane and stuff in the thing. But he there's some comic relief and Lynn Whitfield's in it. Like it's some good actors in it. And it's really, it's only six episodes and the episode's only a half hour a piece. But it's a kind of about him. And Janet Huber is in it. She plays his therapist, and he's able to put this thing on his head and kind of transfer it into different worlds. So with him and the people that are around him, we can find out later. I don't want to spoil it, but they're from this other thing. But like, so it's just very interesting. It's very well written and very interesting. And I hope it gets another season because it leaves on a cliffhanger. But it's really well done. I highly suggest people watch it. What you've been watching?
Oh my God, I was telling somebody this last night. There have been points at this during the summer where I have watched a season of TV a day, and I can't tell you anything about what I have burned through so much TV. But I watched what I did watch recently that was crazy on Netflix, a white lady drama, this thing called what was it called? Housewife Hunters or Hunters Housewives or Hunting Wives or
Hunting Wives.
Hunting Wives.
That shit got real lesbian real fast. I
No,
was like, oh my
so
God.
graphic, like Skinamax,
Yes.
Catholic porn, like
They
out
fucking on kids
gate.
and all
It's
kinds
a
of shit.
lot.
It is wild.
It's so much happening in that TV show.
I ain't
That
finished that
and it
though.
was and it was crazy because like I couldn't look like I was frustrated, but I also couldn't look away. Like, what the fuck is happening? Because it was just like peer. It was bad peer pressure. It's guns. It's liquor. It's affairs. It's
It's
like
like one random black woman in there, but
yeah,
is
and
this
she don't
a
like, but
reality show or
she don't even serve a purpose. It's
it's
supposed to be
scripted?
about a group
Oh,
of,
scripted,
yeah,
okay.
it's scripted. But it's just like dry. It's high. It's dramatic. It's dramatic, and there's like a. It's a
It's
murder
like
plot.
Big Little Lies, but
Yeah,
like
but in
country.
Texas.
Okay.
Yeah.
But in Texas. And I watched the second season of Wednesday, which I very much enjoyed. I really liked that show. I think it was a brilliant idea to spin off the Addams Family to her. Like, she's the only character I can imagine actually following.
Yeah, I
You
like Jenna
know?
Ortega a lot too. Her
Yeah.
performance is great.
That was really good. But like, I don't know that I watched anything else of note, to be
It's
honest.
like nothing is really leaving an impression
Yeah,
for
but
me.
that's also I'm finding like a downside to binging is that I will watch all of this and
You
I can tell
forget
you what happened,
it.
but
Yeah, you
like
forget it. Yeah.
right immediately after, I'm not like, oh my God, I watched this show. It's so good. It's so blah, 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 blah. Y'all need to get into it. Whatever,
I
whatever.
think there's two shows that people are talking about. One is turned out to be much, much better than we expected, and the other like took a massive crap on a legacy of a show. The first one is The Gilded Age,
Yeah.
which thank God HBO let that show find their audience because it has been incredible. This last season was unbelievable. I'm
Heard
gonna
Felicia
rewatch
Rashad is
from the beginning.
amazing.
What?
Yeah.
I heard Felicia Rashad is amazing.
She's great in that. You already know how I feel about that. And then the other show, oh, shout out to Sally Richardson Whitfield, who had a huge
Right.
hand in even bringing The Gilded Age to screen. So,
Yeah.
like, huge shout to her. And then the other show is And Just Like That,
So
which should not have
I
been
didn't watch
made.
this season.
I tapped out of and just like that, I watched the first season and then I was like, and that's enough for me. Like, it was fine.
And
And
congratulations. I wish I had done the same
I was like,
thing.
that's not, but I also did that after the first Sex and the City movie. I was like, I don't need a second one. Like, I'm
Good
good.
on you because the second one was
Mm-hmm.
terrible.
Yeah.
Let me just say, like, if you have anything you're doing, any kind of media around 50-year-old women, everybody seems to be getting it wrong. I don't know a single woman who would be widowed and just never talk about their husband ever again. Like,
Right,
this is the
right.
love of her life. She's been chasing this man for 30 years.
And he died in the crib.
And they mentioned him, like, after the funeral,
But
we
Carrie,
heard his name like two more times, and that's it. That doesn't make any kind of fucking sense.
Carrie is a hugely avoidant personality, though. I think they also, though, I think it was circumstantial. I think they did not want to remind people of Chris Noth's character because he, right as and just like that was premiering,
He
he
had
had
the
the
accusations or
as
whatever.
the accusations against them. So I think they actually wanted to separate the show from
I fully
Chris Noth.
understand that. But a show like that, like you have core audience. You have people that are going to watch what's happening with these four characters forever because we're just invested. So we could detach it from the actor. We weren't asking for flashbacks. We were asking for what it would look like if a woman lost her husband in
Yeah.
her 50s a couple
Yeah.
years into their marriage. That is rough. And
That's
we didn't
real.
see her really go through any of that in a
She
like a
just moved, she
sensible
got the bread
way.
and she got the money and moved on.
Exactly.
Yeah,
And
like
then
she had to
started
meet up. She
buying
had to meet
crazy.
up with the first wife for a half second. She had to do some
Yeah.
other stuff, but that was all in the first. But like I said, I
And
got
it's like every character just
one of the
became the thing that they hated the
things.
most.
Yeah.
Harry
One
is
of the
now a lonely cat lady. That doesn't make any sense.
any
Miranda
sense.
is now this like
Itsy.
pusillanimous, ditzy,
Yeah.
can't speak for herself. You know, not male. It was very bizarre. And then Charlotte is this person who has no idea how to parent these kids. What? None of this makes any fucking sense. And it pissed me off. And I'm glad that it ended. And I feel bad for the actors, but shout out to Samantha for not coming back. She knew what was up.
I checked out when Carrie bought the crib on the West Side Highway, you know,
Oh yeah, with all the mirrors and
there.
stuff, and
They
then left after
moved
like
out
2 days.
on it because she, what was the something was the refrigerator that was
Couldn't
making
figure
noise.
out the deep.
Beeping. Yeah.
I'm like, are you kidding me? This fucking is like a $5 million apartment. You don't move out
Yeah,
because
I think that was to illustrate exactly how much money he had left her. I think that was the whole point of that storyline,
yeah,
was
because
and
then
she
she
didn't know
moved to
what to do with
Gramercy
it.
Park, which is literally, for those who don't know, it's kind of impossible
Yeah.
because nobody, you getting over there is crazy,
Yeah, it's
crazy
hard.
impossible. If
Also,
you get in
like,
there, nobody sells those cribs. They don't go
FEMA
to the
can't
market.
afford a taxi now. What the fuck is this show? I was so mad at the end of that show, but also like, yes, let's bury this and let these characters be done because they
Move
don't exist anymore, as far as I'm concerned.
on. And I didn't like what's the name's character either. What's the name's wife? Boris's wife.
Oh, Nicole Ari Parker?
Because I'm not mad, like we talked earlier, I'm not mad at, you know, black people having wealth. That's not the issue.
But it felt tokeny.
They were so far, they felt
What the fuck was she
disconnected.
wearing?
Yeah, they felt so disconnected from it. Like, you tell me
Nobody who has that much
they never went to
money.
Red, they never went to Red Rooster. They never went uptown and just had a meal. Like, really? Really?
Nobody dresses like that. That doesn't exist. Her wardrobe first season, absolutely. Season three, it's like they were picking up like what's in this closet that is the most impractical, ugly, doesn't go together, structured garment that we can put on this gorgeous woman to overwhelm her. It was like so
Like
many things went
that
wrong.
nigga never like bro, that nigga never just wanted some wings one night. You know what I'm saying? Like, really, that nigga just never just wanted to watch
Yeah,
the game.
from Hamilton, don't eat some ribs, everyone. Like, come on. It was. This is always my issue with black folks on TV, is that it's very extreme. It's very heavy-handed, and no one is like, listen, there's no secret. We've lived a very comfortable life for the last few decades, right? Like, and so have our neighbors. And guess what? All them niggas got collard greens, and all them niggas know where a fish spot is, and they
Go to
can
Kenny
still
Fried
go,
Chicken sometime.
and they will still go to the fanciest high dining, highfalutin. We could do all that, okay? But guess what? I still want to go to Kennedy Fried Chicken on a late night, okay? I'm gonna stop at the halal cart on the way home. Like I told you guys, my choice was Tao or the halal guy. We chose the halal guy, and
And it
we
was
were
slamming.
great. It was amazing. Double chicken, extra sauce. Let me get that.
Period.
We out. So I just, you know, I'm always weirded out with those, what I like to say, those white centered shows with black characters, because those black characters are always done in a heavy-handed way. And I want to say too, I don't necessarily know that that is purely based on the writers. I think a lot more executives at these networks now have their hands
Yeah.
in the day-to-day shaping and
Well,
molding of shows in
you
a
know
way
the
that.
big criticism from Sex and the City, not to cut you off, I'm sorry, was that it was extremely white to be in New York City.
And
And
the
so
first
they
season
went the absolute
they included
last
all the things.
event and included all of the diversity at once, and it was way too
But
much. When Miranda's
the thing.
professor, Miranda's a grown ass woman, well, her black locked professor decided she was going to sit down on the bench and start talking to this white student of hers about her
Absolutely.
fertility journey. I was like, get me the fuck out this show.
Also,
I
where the
can't.
fuck is she in season three?
Yeah.
We just not gonna hear no more
Well,
about
see,
that?
again, I just tapped out after season one. I was
Insanity.
like, okay, that was a cute little romp.
She got that
One
forever. She
of the
got the
things,
forever script and checked
insanity.
out.
Well,
She
we
was the
know
top.
where she is, but they just
Yeah.
never mention
I know
her
what you're saying.
again.
I'm just saying they don't mention
I
her again.
remember that being a critique of Sex and the City, and I actually didn't necessarily agree with it. I understood why people felt that way, but contrary to popular belief, New York is very
Yeah, really
segregated.
segregated. I
Yeah.
said the same thing
And
about Friends. They wouldn't have had no
yeah.
black people coming through.
Also,
It
we tune
is
in because we want to see white mess. I don't want to see myself when I look at Sex in the City.
it's
I
not
didn't need to see
uncommon.
myself with Seinfeld in them. Like, to me, all three of those shows,
Exactly.
Sex in the City, Seinfeld, and Friends, were very honest representations of those kind of social groups in New York.
Fully and completely.
What I've always said, you know, black folks we don't have the opportunity to go through our life. Let's just say we could take 2 weeks of our life. You know, we have a 2 week span of going to work and going into the city. There's no experience in that 2 weeks that white people don't exist in our world. There is very much a 2 week experience that black people do not exist in their world. And they can go to and from and have a life where they go to a restaurant and not encounter black
Absolutely.
people. There
Yeah.
is still a lot of segregation, particularly in housing.
Right.
So
Crazy.
it's yeah. So
and definitely in the 90s, like that was definitely still a thing in the
that
90s.
was rent controlled era. You was
Yeah.
getting that apartment because your grandmother got it in 1943.
And in the
Okay, and
90s,
it's
white people were still getting off the train at 116th Street in the 90s. Like it's not, because now if you see a bunch of white people and there's a bunch of black people around, it's because the white people moved into a black neighborhood. You know what I mean? Like, so not the other way around. And what I used to tell people on Twitter was, when this conversation would come up, I said if they wanted to provide a more accurate representation of black folks, it would be as workers, co-workers, random background characters, and then y'all would be mad, like, why all the black people just there as extras? But we are literally extras in their social
In their world.
day-to-day experience, and not an intricate part of their groups. And I'm okay with, like, that's fine. It's really okay.
Like, I'm 43 and I'm not looking to make new white friends. The white friends that I've had, like, have been with me since, like, the army. It is very few people, and I'm not looking outside my circle to,
New
like,
friends.
let's bring this new white person in. No, that's not a real thing.
I've been watching, well, two things I'll mention as well. I actually did not watch this season of BMF at all. I actually canceled Stars. Last
There was a
season,
story about that. They lost like a
the
huge
ratings were,
share of their
it
subscription, like millions of dollars.
so yeah, the previous season, they just turned the Meech character into what I like to call Meech Wick, and where he never got dirty, he never got hit. He was like the Forrest Gump of like hip hop at that point. He would just kind of be
Right.
randomly smoking a joint with pop. It was just ridiculous. It had just, and listen, nostalgia is great for like a season, maybe two.
Right.
And then like people are not enamored with the old school MCM sweatshirt or the
Yeah,
Lexus
high
coupe,
top fade.
right? Like it just runs its course at a certain point,
Well,
right?
also,
And so
it should have been a series that ran its course, because how much of this story, like, how much of the blowing money fast story do we really need? Like, did it need 4 seasons? Meech could have
it was
gone to jail in 3 seasons. I'm not really. This is where you start getting into a heavily fictionalized account of what happened. Like, I don't understand why we ain't at Jeezy and Snowman and Meech going to jail by season three. I don't get that.
Yeah, I think that, so I just kind of checked out pretty much. But what I have been watching is the Dallas Cowboys extended documentary
I
on
started it. I
Netflix.
started it. Yeah. How is it?
And
Did you finish it yet?
I want to, it is, I have not finished it
Okay.
because it's
I
eight,
thought she
I
was
think
gonna
it's
say
eight
the thing
episodes.
about the cheerleaders.
No.
Nah, the Dallas Cowboys. Yeah, you got that too,
It
man.
was,
The Dallas Cowboys,
so this is in the spirit of The Last Dance, so it's very long form, and they did an amazing job. This is what documentary sort of filmmaking, in my opinion, is about. They have amazing stock footage. They have everyone. And when I say everyone, I mean everyone. George Bush, the owner of the 49ers, they have every player. They have every player of note. And one of the things that I want to say is that, look, I'm not interested, like, I would never be interested to watch this kind of documentary on the Patriot State. You know what I'm saying? Because the Patriots are not stars,
Exactly.
okay? Dallas, when you actually watch the show and you realize that Emmett, Troy, Michael, Dion have all been on television post-career. Jerry is the star of stars. He is the boss of bosses in terms of ownership.
I
And I
know.
think when you,
I once met Jerry Jones and he let me wear his Super Bowl ring for a few minutes, and I have a picture of it somewhere.
I bet he did. I
Yeah,
bet old
exactly.
Jerry did. I bet he did.
I was like, I was like, am I gonna ask this old white man? Yes, I am. Can
Yeah,
I wear the
country.
ring?
Yeah. Yes. I 100% believe that. Yes. And what I will say is it is fascinating because when you hear Jerry talk about how kind of he bought it, first of all, what he paid for the Dallas Cowboys in 1989
Right.
was a king's ransom. It was an unheard of amount of money. It is probably the most profitable business deal, though,
Ever.
since I believe he bought that team for about $180 million
150,
in
180,
1980,
something like
and that team is currently valued at about $9.2 billion. But what I wanted to say was that it's interesting to hear him talk about his failures and how he was still able to access that kind of money. How he was $50 million in debt. I want you to like to be $50 million in debt
And make a
in
hundred
like
and eighty million dollar person.
yo, to be $50 million in 19 fucking like 85,
Yeah.
86, like that is an unheard of number. And it really showed me how, you know, God bless him, right? But like white
White
folks will
people.
give
Different.
will give what they will
Different.
extend they will extend credit and they will extend that olive branch until they think you go and figure it out. And sometimes you do and sometimes you don't, and we never really hear about the don'ts. You know what I'm saying?
Very rare.
And so but this is a really I think Jerry's a great businessman. I think he really sees the larger picture. I think he shaped and shifted a lot of how the NFL is run, and rightly so. And it's a really good and entertaining program because you have the animated Michael Irvin, you have Troy Aikman, you have all of those guys sort of, you know,
Dion.
reacting exactly. Dion, everything.
Yeah,
And
I
Dallas is one of the last, like, with I feel like in, and this is more basketball than football, but I feel like it's kind of same with football. I feel like you don't, the legacy franchises don't hit the same. And like two of the last true, like, or a few of the last few, like, real franchises we have is the Cowboys. And then on the basketball side, the Lakers. On the
Lakers.
baseball side, the Yankees. Like, no matter what your record looks like that year, like, it's an you're an important team. You know what I mean? Like,
They
you.
still playing on. They still playing the national game, even if they
Yeah.
500. They still get. They're gonna be on Christmas. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
On Christmas. But speaking of that, since we talk a little business, I wanted to mention and bro, you could take this one because I even keep it way more eyes on it than me. But I want to mention this Uncle Nearest thing. So Fawn Weaver, who is a woman, I think she's from Tennessee originally. I think she's from Tennessee originally. She I don't really know much of her background, but she's obviously a very smart woman, and she created this brand called Uncle Nearest. Uncle Nearest was the black man's enslaved black man in Tennessee, or was it Kentucky? I think it was Tennessee, who taught Jack Daniels how to distill whiskey and created the Jack Daniel's brand. He created this whole brand from Uncle Nearest. He did what many of them did, is they basically stole Uncle Nearest shit, right? And Fawn, and I think she had, I believe she had a partner when she started. I'm talking shit. I could be mistaken, but she did the research and decided to create this brand called Uncle Nearest, which is a whiskey brand, very popular brand. But now she's kind of going through some ups and downs financially with the brand.
And was
And
quickly growing to be like the largest black-owned
yeah, it was, yeah. So I mean, it was,
category.
yeah, well, yeah. I might have undersold that. It's like a big ass brand. A quick story about Uncle Nearest would show me what she had to go against. So when I was living in Washington Heights, up the hill from me, there was a liquor store, and they had everything. It was a small liquor store, but they had everything. Like they had anything. Any high-end liquor or low-end, whatever, they had it all in the store. And when Uncle Nearest first came out, they put it in that store. This is distributors. And I'm not really a big drinker, but I was gonna kind of buy it to support. And so I went up there one day and I asked the guy who owned, actually the manager of the store or whatever. I said, "Yo, I've been seeing this, man. How is this? Yo, your man shitted all over the brand. White Cat. Ah, I don't know. That's not good. I wouldn't buy it." And I'm like, "Wow." And I thought in my mind, I didn't believe him, but I thought in my mind, "Wow. Imagine how many times this is happening across America, especially in the South. Imagine how many times the Jack Daniels people are telling people, don't fuck with that one, you fuck with this one." So she's done a great job, but she's run into some issues. But if you're up to it, bro, you take kind of take the lead on this.
So here's what I will say, because a lot of this is, in my opinion, a lot of this is, I want to tread lightly here for several reasons. One, I want to make sure that that we're giving these Black folks the benefit of the doubt
Absolutely.
about their brand. And two, a lot of the reporting is, I'm a big fan of the devil is in the details, and these are things that we just simply don't know. We were not in the negotiations. We did not see the contracts. We do not know. So a lot of the opinions are surface opinions. I do want to say this though. We, Black people, we have to get out of this extreme level of never being able to say anything without it being seen as hate or disparagement
You're a traitor.
or praise. It either has to be super extreme praise, or people are curious about the whys of this because it is built on a cultural connection. The reality is that the whiskey space is super inundated. There is a ton of whiskeys out there. A lot of them are well made. Uncle Nearest's story, right, and the connection and Fawn Weaver being Black is a part of the success. And it would be it's just disingenuous to pretend
It don't matter.
that it don't matter. Okay,
Black and a woman.
so people's curiosity is based on the fact that we were introduced, because we don't know the owners of many of these other whiskeys. There is no backstory. And so when you made that a part of your brand, because it is a part of your brand, the expectation is that people want to know. The same way people had those expectations about Essence, and the same way people had those issues about them and wanted to say, hey, if this is a Black-owned brand and you guys are using this cultural connection as a tipping point to get my business, then yes, I have questions about how connected this is to our culture and how it's impacting our locals. So in theory, I just said a lot of nothing about Fawn, and I wanted to just sort of make sure that I, painted that picture. But yes, I have, questions about the whys and the hows, because just on a corporate structure, I would like to know, like, how did this happen? Or how did this get signed? And I've said this, as I also have a feeling that there is duplicity with the lenders. I have questions in regards to the lenders, because it is very odd to me that you would have collateral used without confirming said collateral. Meaning, I can't go to the bank and say, hey, I need a $5 million loan, and I'm putting up my $6 million house as collateral without proving to this loan company that I actually own said $6 million house. So I have questions about how, were you guys compliant? Were you like how, like, what was the process here? Now, I don't know if this is a loan company or a bank, but there are a lot of companies out there that do these sort of high-end loans, and reclaiming ownership as a part of the process. From what it looks like, the receivership is saying that Fawn and her husband, I believe, are still required to act in good faith as the faces of the brand so that the brand does not lose valuation or
Thank
does
you.
not lose market share, which I find to be very, very odd and awkward.
And which is also going to be very like hard to do considering how much of a story this has become, you know? Like,
It's very, and that's the thing, right? Like, this is a story, and I saw her response. I personally thought that the response was, you know, it's fine. It did not answer any questions in my opinion. But I think that I would love for us to be in a place where we can have these discussions about these sorts of things in a way that is not so hard lined. And I think that is very, very difficult for us to have honest conversation, even amongst the people that we know and we love, because the moment you say something or the moment you question something, it's this hard shutdown. It's this don't nobody, you know, it's like Bonita Bottrell and Miss Jenkins. Like, don't nobody better say nothing bad about Miss Jenkins. You know what I'm saying? And I'm like, yo, these are like legitimate questions,
Little
guys.
questions that they need answering. I'm just
Well, here's the thing.
eating.
The thing is they don't need answering, right? But do they deserve answering? Like, that's the, you know what I'm saying? Like, sure, we could go without them ever being answered. And if you like Uncle Nearest, you can go and purchase that, right? But if you're purchasing this because a black woman owned it, and now a black woman no longer owns it, what are we saying here?
Like, who actually, and the one thing I will say, because full transparency, I have very close friends who are very close friends with Fawn. I do know that Fawn had it structured. I still have to do my own deeper research into the specifics, but I do know that Fawn had it had even like the share sales structured in such a way so that she could control. And this is, and I'm not, this is not a negative thing, this is a good thing, so that she still had some oversight in who the shares went to, and who could. So like, even if you own, if you even if you bought in and you own shares in Uncle Nearest, I can't remember the term, but before you could sell off those shares, like, she had to approve it. There was something like that. So she had to approve like who you were selling them to, or she had the discretion to choose who they would be sold to. So part of this, to me, considering how their valuation has grown or had grown before this point, sounded a little bit like maybe somebody trying to find a way to muscle in. I don't know, you know. So there's also that she was working very hard, and she also said that at some point her plan was to turn over full ownership to the nearest family, the remaining family
Descendant.
members of Uncle Nearest. So like she wasn't planning to own the company forever, right? So I part of me is like, I can see somebody trying to find a way to get in and get some ownership of it, but again, I still have to look into,
That's
I mean,
what I was
automatically blow a conspiracy whistle, you know?
one of
That's
the
what I was
easiest ways one of the easiest ways and you know this is a really an old school mob trick, right? Is to ultimately loan you money that we know you can't pay back,
Can't pay
right?
back.
And so now we can sink our teeth into you because you're now indebted to us. And so not only do you owe what's on the top of the loan, we're gonna go in the register and go in the till, and we're gonna come and eat for free at your restaurant, right? Like we're gonna burn you from all sides,
Remember
right?
that
And
was a storyline
so
on The Sopranos with Artie.
that's yes,
Tony
literally.
got the money. Artie got the money from Tony and them to open a restaurant. The restaurant started booming. Like you said, these guys started coming eating free, and then just they ate it up from all sides, and they burned it down and took the
And
insurance money.
that's an old school trick, right? Which is we're and this is what I meant by duplicity on the loan on the lender's part, because these were three, it's from what I understand, from what I've read, is that these were three loans that came to like $100 million. So this was not a one single loan. This was a series of loans. I think one was like 60 million and the other one was like 30 million or whatever, and the other last one was like maybe 10 million. So, this is clearly like an amazing amount of debt and cash flow that's going to be needed to pay these debts down. Again, listen, God bless. I'm nobody's CFO. The views here are written and expressed by Sean Young and Sean Young's only. I do not like, I don't want to make it seem like I'm this genius here, and I know all the things. I do want to say you can't use black people to buy, you can't use blackness to sell your product. And then when black people question the ownership of said product, you get tight-lipped and can't nobody ask no questions.
My point is to on a macro level is, these big companies, not Uncle Nearest, there's several big companies. They play dirty, man. They play hardball, man. When it comes
Oh,
to stuff,
business is nasty. Business
this
is
is
nasty,
nasty,
man.
man. These are nine-figure deals, man. This is fucking. So you don't like nice, and I don't know. I'm not no fucking economics major, but I think people don't. You don't see it because it's not usually on the front lines. But like you said, they play
Bro.
dirty. They try to steal companies from each other. There's all
The rumor,
kinds of shit. They partner with the lenders to try to steal the. And I'm not saying this happened here, but I'm just saying there's a lot of dirty pool in these games. And
was widely accepted. It was widely accepted as truth that the source was lost in one of these kinds of deals because of some random paragraph on like page 24 of like a 50-page contract. You know what I'm saying? Like it was a super, like under the radar clause that it's like if you default or something like that, then we retain full own something that should not have been missed, right? Like in hindsight, but was missed, right? Like so these things are always sort of done, and this is why you always have attorneys who particularly practice this sort of law, contract law. I just find it interesting too, like we haven't heard from Business Affairs, like there's no company attorney that has talked about this, so
I mean,
but anyway, I wish them well.
I think too many people, a lot of black people, again, this is a macro, this is not about Uncle Nearest at all. On a macro level, a lot of us just have this thing that's like, they should just do the right thing. And I'm always like, I'm sorry, they should, but that's not how shit works. And I brought that up to talk about a little bit about, and again, this is just me. Nobody on this panel has the same thing but me, but I've been watching this Salt and Pepper thing. Where Salt and Pepper wanted to reclaim the ownership of their masters, which is their law. After 35 years, the ownership of the masters reverts back to the artist or the estate or whatever is set up.
Right.
But the issue with Salt and Pepper is
It's Herbie's masters.
Herbie's masters. The Salt and
Right.
Pepper did not sign a deal to
Right.
that time Next Plateau. They
Right. Right.
signed to Herbie. And
Right.
Herbie is the furnishing company to Next Plateau, and I think eventually to MCA, which became Universal.
Yeah.
And so Herbie owns those masters. Further, Herbie was writing all the records and producing them, but
Yeah.
Herbie owns those masters. Salt and ended up doing some remixes and stuff, and kind of dipping herself her hands into the production side of things. But Herbie owns those masters, and Herbie is the person who's going to deal with the 35 years, even though Salt and Pepper have been performing those records for all these years.
Yeah.
And that's where the crosshairs goes, and people are kind of, and again, I don't know all the details of this case, but as soon as I heard it, I was like, Herbie owns this stuff.
Yeah, it's Herbie stuff. And I know people are always, and this always happens, like when then people automatically like, well, it's not fair. Well, they've been performing and they've been, and I tell my students this in class, like, if you are just a performing artist, if you are just a performing artist, you haven't written anything, you haven't produced anything, whatever. If you are just a performing artist, like you only get paid as long as you perform. That's it. You know what I mean? Like you have, there's no residual nothing coming to you.
When those big sync things come over the commercials and all that stuff,
Yeah,
you might get a
you
little
are.
piece, but the chunk of it is going to whoever wrote and produced those records,
You
not
are basically
the
your damn your work for hire for all intents and purposes, right? And I also tell people that all the shady deals or what they feel like are unfair deals that they try to blame on majors really is a product of production deals because it's so many hands that the money has to go through
And the majors are
Like
just going to deal with who owns it. They don't really care.
I've stopped trying to explain this stuff to laymen. They just they do not they they do not get it. They don't grasp it. They don't grasp it on a micro level or macro level. And so what ends up happening is you start talking to people about how they feel about a thing that is nostalgic to them and harkens back to like a time of their childhood. And so they're being unreasonable. And they don't think that they're being unreasonable, right? Because
I just
again,
don't
like you
understand
said,
how this shit works. Like,
at all.
I went through this
at
when
all.
Everybody was talking about the Beyonce Khalid shit, which was not even a thing. And I was like, they were like, well, Beyonce should have called. Nobody's calling somebody to say,
fine,
I'm sampling a track that you sang on. That's not a thing.
Nobody's
even calling somebody to say,
paid for it.
Nobody. Also, nobody's calling even somebody to say, I'm sampling the track you fucking produced. No, nigga, like, that doesn't happen. You know what I'm saying? Like, you might get a phone call about a feature, you want to hop on this, but I'm not call. No artist is calling another artist be like, yo, man, I'm about to sample your song. Unless you need to work some shit out. Unless the approval is stuck. You know what I'm saying? Like,
in that case, I kept telling people, Khalees didn't own that. Pharrell did. He wrote and produced it.
Exactly. And it wasn't even the song Khalees was arguing about. So it was like, and it was an interpolation. Like, it was all a mess, right?
No,
it was an interpolation of the fucking track. Whatever. Anyway, my point is, people don't know how shit works. So when I first saw the lawsuit, somebody hit me and asked me about it because there have been several lawsuits against UMG for master's reversions, right? So what I said first without looking at it was, this lawsuit might be a formality to trigger the reversion because I don't think it's automatic, and I don't think Business and Legal is sitting there tracking.
No, you have, no no the people who own the masters and stuff, they have to trigger it.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
The universe is not calling you like, hey, you know your stuff is
that's
up.
That's what I'm saying.
And if they don't trigger it, then it revert. Then it just extends.
Right. So I was telling my friend, I said, this lawsuit is probably a formality to trigger the process of the reversion. And they were like, well, shouldn't somebody be paying attention to that? And I was like, UMG is the largest catalog holder in the world.
Right.
Like, nobody got time to be seeing, oh, Bobby Brown's contract was signed 35 years ago. So nobody's doing that. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, that's not a thing. That's not, it doesn't, a flag doesn't come up in the system. It's not efficient, but that's the whole problem with record label contracts. Like, there's no universal system, whatever. But then when I thought about it, I was like, wait, those are Herbie's masters. And Herbie don't never even show his face nowhere. So that's a whole
thing. I think Herbie lives in an island somewhere. I don't think he even lives in America. Herbie been gone. He's been gone, I think, since like the early 2000s.
He has been gone since the early 2000s. And then there are some people, okay, listen, Salt and Pepper fans. A lot of y'all always want to be like, what about Spin? Spinderella is a casted character. She ain't even the original Spin. She don't DJ. She does now.
Yeah.
She didn't. She ain't even rap on the album till the last Salt and Pepper album. Stop asking what about Spin. I mean, yes.
That goes back to that thing about everybody thinking.
Sometimes she needs to be there to perform. But like, if it ain't the very necessary album, I don't need Spinderella.
Also, personally. Look, Herbie did what he did, and he owns that stuff. So Salt and Pepper were cutting money that not even 100% what they could have gotten if they they weren't going to cut a third person in.
No,
they weren't going to cut a third person in to the
who was just basically a model.
Yeah,
for aesthetics. She was there for aesthetics.
And I like Dee Dee. She's this really sweet girl. She's really nice girl. But again, that kind of doesn't matter. You know what I'm saying? No. But anyway, so
I think it's weird that people who, in any other industry, like the job that you're doing when you're 23, you're not expected to have that paying you when you're 60. That's just not a real thing in any other industry. So
people
for me,
like,
it feels ridiculous that people are trying to recoup stuff from their first job that's not necessarily still being enjoyed.
Well, people feel like music and film, for some reason, like film and TV, the number of times that I've heard people surprised that some person who had like when homeboy who was Alvin on Cosby Show was working at Whole Foods, and they were like, oh my God,
No.
he was a recurring
Yeah, he
character
ain't getting no
on a
residual.
show that was on 30 years ago. You think he doesn't need to work the fuck? You know
He ain't
what I'm
getting no
saying? Like,
residual. Only the main cast got residuals.
yeah,
So
or
I'm gonna
somebody who had a
Well,
hit in the
I
90s.
will
People
say
change
yes.
careers all the time. Yeah.
And let me just say this before we jump on the next thing. People have a very warped sense of residuals. They are under this impression that because they watch The Cosby Show and they see him, right? And I'm just using him as the example because you just brought him up, right? Like that when they see that there's like a check of
Like a big
thousands
old
of
check.
dollars that come in the mail every month. And that's just not how residuals work, okay? It is ultimately pennies. I think Miguel Nunez Jr. just did a post where he had something like, dude, he might have had like 50 checks from shit he had done from like 88 to now, whatever. I dude, it might have been $40, right? Like, I
Them
think he had
shits be like
one
a
check.
dollar 16, $3.25.
Yo, he had one check that was like the biggest check was like $12, right? Like Justin gets those checks, right? From his Wonder shows and all of that, that's racist stuff. He gets checks for that. But like, dude,
Ain't buying no Ferrari.
maybe he can buy a sandwich, right? Like after he's first of all, the time it takes to fucking cash those paper checks is more time consuming than worth the actual money that you're cashing. So I think people just have a very, very warped sense of what that looks like. And so they think that when they see people that have been on shows, listen, people that have done shows like Friends or people that have done shows like Seinfeld, right, where they have had these super massive several years of like substantial salary bumps, you know, they're probably good in terms of like, yeah, do they need to work? Sure. But like, if they
And
don't
like
work, like,
syndication, like
yeah, no one's, listen, no one's, you know, no one's going to be on the soup kitchen line, right? But like, you still need to go out and earn a living, and you still need to, and to think that, and to think that, I don't want to keep calling him Elvin because that's not his real
I know,
name.
I can't remember his name. Gregory something?
Jeffrey
Gregory
Owens.
Owens, Jeffrey
Jeffrey Owens.
Owens.
Jeffrey
Sorry.
Owens.
Yeah, to think that he had whatever that little $1,500 he might have gotten in 1987 was going last
Yeah.
is like, it's just ridiculous.
Well,
People will
also
think that
Trader
somebody who
Joe's has health
they
insurance.
have health insurance. People will also think that somebody who had like one hit in the 90s be shocked at their financial position. And I'm like, Salt and Pepper's last album came out my last year of fucking high school. You know what I'm saying? Like that was a long time ago. Like, you know, and yes, they get Push It gets a lot of samples.
But
You
that's
know,
Herbie.
Push It gets a, but that's hard, but that's
That's Herbie.
Herbie.
He
That's fucking
wrote
when
and
you go
produced
in
that whole
for Houston.
record. Yeah.
He put the group together. He put Kid and Play together too. You know what I mean? Like all these old cats, they on the road for a reason because that's where the money comes from. Like they might not necessarily still want to be out there, all these 90 artists dancing hard and doing all that other shit. It doesn't mean it was unfair. You know what I mean? Like it means somebody else had the creative vision and they were the talent. And when you're talent, that means that's what you are, you're talent. Like your job is to get here and execute the shit. You know what I mean? So, and granted, like later on, I don't know if I think this was before social media when Salt and Pepper had their reality show, but it was interesting to watch
Not about that.
that them going through. I can't remember what it was called.
Yeah, on the VH1 show, I forgot
Yeah,
about
the VH1 show. But it
it.
was interesting to see each of them like what like because this was before we were on all these legacy tour. Know the legacy tour grind and all of that stuff, they weren't working. And it was an interesting perspective, but I think people really need to. I've also said before that, like, here's the thing. Yes, advocate for artists. I believe in advocating for artists, but also sometimes the artists just be fucking talking. You can't always assume that the artist's point of view
This is the right one.
is the right point of view because artists are emotional. And there may be some things that they didn't understand, and maybe some things that happened that were unfair, but artists shit on people all the fucking time. Like it happens. And again, artists just be fucking talking sometimes. So it's like, I'm not saying yes, advocate for artists to get what they deserve, but also be clear on what, on who
And
did
to
what,
be
and
fair.
what, and what's what actually is fair here.
Yeah. So yeah, peace to them. I just want to end it with the, I haven't seen it yet, but Spike Lee, Denzel
Okay,
Washington.
so I saw last night.
How is it? Highest to lowest,
So,
which is based
okay.
on an old film called
It's
Higher
based
to
on
Color,
an old film, which was
Japanese
based on
film.
a 60s film, which is based on a book. The original film was about a corporate tycoon who's about to try to buy back his company from shareholders, and right when he's about to do it, his son gets kidnapped. It's the same thing, but this is with Denzel as a label executive who is trying to prevent his label being sold by buying out the other person with the most shares next to him so that he has controlling interest. And he decides he wants to take back over the company and run it himself, to which his wife is like, "Are you fucking kidding me? You're gonna put a mortgage on our house and you said we could travel." And but so I had a couple of issues with the movie. The first thing is, this should have been a thriller or an action movie. And usually when Spike does those, like A Man Inside, like a 25th Hour or something, he kind of takes the spikeness out of it, especially when it was written by somebody else. And this was written by, in this case, Denzel got the script and brought it to Spike. Spike made this a Spike Lee joint. And it fucked up the pacing of the movie, because you have in the first half the very drawn out Spike exposition shit with a lot of camera shots and the scoring.
The dolly shots and all that.
He didn't do a lot of the dolly shots, but like this, like I think him and Tanya's collect art collection is used in the penthouse that Denzel and his wife share. So there's a lot of like establishing shots of the art, you know. They live like right by the Brooklyn Bridge, so it's a lot of views, you know, that type of shit. But also, though, like the horn score, you know, the kind of jazzy score, which didn't always match the conversation, and it made the conversation feel awkward. Like there were points where Jeffrey Wright felt like a stunted actor. Like he felt like he was, and it's fucking Jeffrey Wright. You know what I'm saying? And I was like, it's the music. The music is throwing me off. It doesn't fit. Like, you know, you got the fucking police squad, the detectives talking to the parents about the fact that their son has been kidnapped, but you got that sweeping banana, like that jazzy shit under it. And I'm like, this don't fit. This don't fit the scene.
Urgency, yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't fit. And then the back half had was better paced. We have more action, but there were just certain things that don't make sense. So like most of this takes place between downtown Brooklyn and the Bronx, but Spike did shit like he put the Puerto Rican Day Parade and a Yankee game on the same day. Never gonna happen. Too chaotic. There's this very long Eddie Palmieri performance, which was cool because Eddie just died like last week, so that was dope to see, but it wasn't necessary for what it was. And there's some continuity issues. And there are a lot of opportunities in the first half where he could have filled some of this, what I felt was kind of languishing space, with some more dialogue or details or something that would have helped move the story along. So it felt like it felt like A, it could have come to streaming, which I believe it probably would have had it not
September
happened.
5th. It's coming
But
September.
I mean, it could have been
Oh,
streaming,
you mean direct to streaming?
which I think it probably would have had it not been attached to Denzel. I don't think Denzel does direct the stream. It felt, they shot it in 2 months. I went and looked. It felt a little more rushed. And there were just, again, there were certain things in the first half where it's just like, what was the point? I don't understand the point. We could have done more with this. We could have. And then my last complaint was, or pondering, and I want to know after y'all see it. It felt like it should have been set at least 10 years ago, because Denzel would be comparable to, I guess, like an L.A. Reid, right? But he is be they're painting him more of like somebody akin to like a Jay or a Tim, and I'm like, that just doesn't, it doesn't work for me. Like the fact that this the story centers around a hip hop artist, which at this point, a hip hop artist from the Bronx is not going to be clamoring and mad that he couldn't get a deal with a 60-year-old
Not at
label
all.
head because he's just making that shit pop
Yeah.
on his own, right? Streaming, whatever, whatever. And there are some points where Denzel is like suited and booted, and then others when he has on like a 90s era gold, platinum cross. And I'm just like, I don't understand who he's supposed to be. And there's like some people who are just in it for like Rick Fox is in it as a basketball coach for and playing himself. No reason at all whatsoever for him to be there. There's none. Like under
How
I
did
listen.
ASAP do?
ASAP was good, actually, but y'all see, he was underutilized. Like he doesn't even really come on screen till the back half of the movie. And I'm like, you could have brought him in
Much earlier.
earlier in a
Yeah.
different way, right? So he's really underutilized. I saw somebody say it was star Ice Spice. She's in one scene.
Yikes.
Whatever. You know what I'm saying? It's just, but I guess that
Do
was
we
like
think this is just like Denzel, like I wanted to do one more thing with Spike? Like just Denzel doing a
yeah,
thing.
just Denzel doing one more thing with Spike. And it could have been, it should have been a strong it was a the cast that was there had a lot more potential. I feel like it almost felt like it was like just a pet project for Denzel and Spike, which I think it was. And maybe due to that, they were it, like a vanity project, even. You know what I mean? Like,
Yeah.
because also Denzel is very, you can still believe Denzel gets busy, but he also is really on his uncle shit. Like there are certain shots where he just looks so old. Like, you know what I mean? This is like,
71, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, he
yeah,
was.
so it's the, but even with that, there the first half is about the fact that he's trying to wrestle back control of his label. And I guess, there's a Clive comparable here, but nobody at any point, like his wife was like, we're supposed to be now traveling and doing all this, but nobody at any point said, nigga, we too old for this shit. Like I was waiting to hear that part. You know what I'm saying? Who's trying to run a label when you've been doing
Yeah.
this shit for 30 fucking years? You know what I'm saying? Like
You good, nigga. You good.
nobody's trying to do that. Bye. Get
Yeah,
sell shit. Fuck
I
that.
watched Wesley Morris, or listened to Wesley Morris. He has a podcast called Cannonball. And he reviewed this movie on Cannibals. Again, so I haven't seen it, but he was talking about his perspective was it was kind of like Spike. It was kind of like Spike, he says Spike sometimes has it from him personally. He has this thing where he's kind of like Cosby-esque, where he's
Yeah.
like, "You young guys need to blah 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 blah
Yeah,
blah."
you gotta
The
put a lesson
movie
in there
is
somewhere.
kind of similar to that. Where it was kind of like you this new music blah blah blah. And at the end, I guess Alicia Keys plays at the end.
No, it's not Alicia Keys.
Was it?
It's some new artist. Which,
Okay,
so
but.
maybe there was a version where it was Alicia at the end. It's a new artist.
Okay, but he said the song that she plays at the end is like this, kind of piano, da 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 da. And he's like, that's not, he said, that shows that Spike's kind of out of touch because that's what he would want that person to
Right.
do. But in 2025, that artist would not have played done
Right.
that song.
Now, what I will say, I think he must have seen an early cut of it. I will say this, and I don't want to spoil it. The path he decides to take at the end professionally after all of this makes sense, right? Like, and so I mean it's not really a spoiler. He decides to let go of the idea of the big label, go to like boutique thing, right? Because one thing that does keep coming back over and over again, and I resonate with this, as I'm sure you will, Jeff, as somebody who's been in the business since the 90s, the idea of his wife says to him, you used to be excited. You used to come home listening to music. You'd be so excited about what you're listening to. Now you come home, you talk about the business. You don't talk about the music. And that's true. That's actually a real, is one of the reasons I left. It wasn't fun anymore, right? Like it wasn't fun anymore. I wasn't enjoying it anymore. And it was too much about the numbers and not about
Money.
like creating something, you know what I mean? And so that part is true, but also I definitely felt like there were no Spike ain't call, like Spike could even called his son, but Spike, I don't think Spike called no young music executives like what's the game like out there?
That's
Like
what I'm saying. That's what Wesley was saying.
he made reference to AI coming up, he made reference to streaming, but there was no real conversation about like how hard it actually is, to run like a regular ass black music label. You know, and the label itself, they did a couple of in-office shots, and I can tell they were at somebody's real label because it was at least like it was open floor plan, and the off the exec offices as they were all glassed in, and they were like small compared to what we used to have back in the day. But like, I just felt like there was somebody waiting to play for him in the lobby. That shit don't happen no more. You know what I mean? Like, it's just like little shit like that. And again, the whole idea that ASAP's character would have been this on fire because he never got a response from this label head. It's not like he met with him and he shitted on him. He just never heard from him. And he had this whole vendetta. That to me didn't ring
Yeah.
true. Because if
Wesley
you
said that too. Wesley said
yeah.
it wouldn't have been that way, and it just felt like a lot of the music parts were dated.
Yeah. A
Very
parts of
dated.
it felt
Even
very.
with the Denzel character wearing the chain, he said he felt like some of that stuff he was fashioning him on Puffy, but that was Puffy in like 98. You know
Yeah,
what I'm saying?
and that was my other thing. Like, who are you supposed to be? Because again, in my mind, and even with that, they talked about him starting the label in the 2000s. And I was like, somebody Denzel's age would not have started this in the 2000s. He would have
Absolutely.
started in he would have started with LA and Face and Jimmy and Terry in
We're starting in the 80s.
the late 80s or the early 90s. And it would have been an R&B label with some hip hop acts. Like, at closest, he could have been a Kevin Lyles. Closest, you know what I'm saying? Like, maybe, right? But like, he definitely wasn't a Puffy, definitely wasn't a Jay, definitely wasn't a Tim. And that was my other thing was like, who are you supposed to be? Because I really did feel like it was based largely on LA, but then there were aspects in there where I was like, who exactly are you even supposed to be right now? You know? And so it had some idea, and I was telling my friends that I went with, I was like, I feel sorry for anybody, not I feel sorry, but I feel for anybody who this is their first Spike Lee joint because there are certain moments in the movie that are awkward, and then you'd be like, oh, this is Spike doing Spike shit.
Doing that fight
You know
shit,
what I'm saying? But like, if you're not familiar with Spike's techniques, you're gonna be like, what the fuck is
And
this?
this generation wouldn't be. Anybody younger than me would not be.
Right. Like, why are there camera shot of the fucking chandelier with the jazz horns playing? You know what I'm saying? It's just like, what's happening? So what I said on Blue Sky was like, you know how it's this trend now for the IG and TikTok DJs to find the most unlikely mashup of songs possible. And sometimes they really don't work. Like, you're really trying to force things that don't fit just to be different. It felt like Spike dropped like Mo Betta and then tried to bring like the Inside Man beat under it or something like that. You know what I mean? Like, it just he either needed to let it be a thriller, let it be like a Spike Lee action joint and kind of take the spikeness off of it, or he needed to go full in Spike Lee joint. It didn't work the way he did it, and the action picked up enough at the end so I felt better, but it could have been a lot. I'm not gonna say it's not worth seeing because I don't want to discourage people from seeing Spike and Denzel. It just could have been a lot stronger. And the trailer made me feel like it was gonna be a lot, the pace was gonna be a lot quicker. He was also trying to do for the Bronx what he does for Brooklyn, which he didn't quite capture. Like, putting a Yankee game and a Puerto Rican Day parade. I was telling somebody, Puerto Rican Day, if you just needed, because he needed to create chaos. If you need to create chaos, Puerto Rican Day Parade is enough. But also, they're never happening on the same day. That's not a thing. It's
And
not
honestly,
happening.
the Puerto Rican Day Parade is in Manhattan.
It's that's the other thing I said. It's in Manhattan.
The chaos is the Dominican Day Parade on Fordham on Grand Concourse. That's the chaos. But again, that
He
shows.
had the Puerto Rican Day Parade, like the hub of it, set up on River Avenue down the street from a fucking Yankee game.
No,
That doesn't
no,
happen. That's
no,
not a
no,
thing.
no.
And he actually is in the area. Like, this is my mom's neighborhood. So I know, like, he's in the area I know. My mom is from upstream from Yankee Stadium. So I'm like, she's from High Bridge. So I'm just like, okay, I actually know where none of this is happening. You know what
None
I'm
of this
saying? Like, none of
not
this is a
real.
thing. Yeah.
It kind of shows the disconnect. I mean, I'm gonna watch it when it comes on streaming, but God bless. Yeah, that's it. We're gonna wrap it up on that. Yeah, we covered everything. See y'all quick, I guess around Thanksgiving.
I want to mention
Inga got
DC.
always the mentions at the end. Go ahead,
I
Inga.
always got the
Inga
mention.
got. I'm
It's
gonna call your shit.
important.
I'm gonna call your shit the church notes.
Before we leave, close the doors. I just want to mention DC.
Oh,
Yeah, I'm
yeah.
looking for a way to help kind of mitigate some of the chaos. Just stop ordering shit from DoorDash and
We can't even get
Instacart and
around, right?
just try to go get shit yourself.
Well,
If
not
you're a
only can
legal
I get around, but
person,
they're trying to pick
they're
them
getting
up.
scooped up.
Yeah.
People who are doing this kind of gig economy work are the ones that are being super targeted by all of these agencies out there wasting billions of dollars
Billions.
harassing people just trying to get to and from work.
Yeah.
The crime that Trump is referring to, this abject homelessness, is just the weird little strip of space between Andrews and the White House that he has to see out of his windows, where there was like a homeless encampment and perhaps a few teenagers coming home from wherever they be at. And DC is, I've never felt safer in DC
That's what
than
everybody says. Everybody
in
says
this last few
Baltimore,
years.
DC, Chicago, record lows of crime. Record.
Even Baltimore.
Yeah,
We were
yeah.
just in Baltimore last week. We had a
Look at
wonderful
them.
day.
Yo,
I
Baltimore's
would be
mayor.
on Baltimore, on Gay Street, on Light Street, any of those industrial areas where the clubs be at, middle of the night, I would be completely fine. There is nothing that happens in Baltimore that makes me feel unsafe.
And ironically, the
Yes.
people sending, like Mississippi sending their National Guard when Jackson, Mississippi's crime rates are higher than DC's, like
Wild. Wild of your state's governor to activate the National Guard, which is already struggling with funding and training and recruitment and all that shit, but to come to a place that's already safe
That's safe.
is
Everybody come.
insane. So what you can do as a citizen, though, is to
Little boy.
just get your own groceries
Hey,
right
Trap.
now.
Get
Try to
your own groceries.
support, they're saying hi to you. Trying to support
Captain America, Trap.
Restaurant Week with local owned restaurants that you can, because right now it's a ghost town, but we want these
Yeah.
businesses to stay open.
Well,
So,
well.
like, if you are cool and can control yourself and cannot smoke weed in public, this is probably a good time to go out and support your favorite business. Otherwise, just lay low, chill the fuck out. We don't know
Yeah.
how long this is gonna last, but like,
Probably
we
not
need
much.
our neighbors, we need our
Yeah,
nannies, we need
we need
our
our ecosystem.
community.
We need our
We need
ecosystem.
all of that to keep going and to kind of resist this
And I would
bullshit that's
even say, if
happening.
you know any students who are in DC, especially like Howard students, in one of my group chats, my friend's goddaughter, two young men, and she was out, like they're on a yard, and two young men, Jack and Jill kids, got scooped up by the cops and like showed ID, and the cops are like, this license don't mean you a citizen. Like it was crazy. They eventually let them go later that night, but imagine how scary that is. It's your first
Yeah.
year
So scary.
at Howard, you know, a freshman
Also, you have
on a new
all of
campus.
these federal agencies that are just not trained in
This is what
policing.
they do.
No,
Yeah.
you have
And
no
community
idea
work,
how
nothing.
community
Yeah.
works.
And
Like, you are just looking for, why is the DEA outside of a high school? That's
a bunch
quite
of
crazy.
Outlanders who they've hired to just put masks on their face and act tough. It's like,
Yeah.
nigga.
Exactly. And then Pam Bondi just authorized the National Guard to begin carrying weapons out here. So this is a whole other layer of like, just lay low, y'all,
They
please. Like,
want
it's
to, just
just,
remember that they want to escalate.
yes.
The point is to escalate, is to escalate. Trump has a hard on to be able to declare martial law. That's where he wants to get.
He wants to turn DC into something else.
Yeah.
And I do
And
want
he
to
wants to make
say,
it a test case so he can do it in other cities.
yeah, and I will never ever say this ever again, but to these white people that are continuously protesting, even though it's not getting coverage, shout out to y'all, because they out there.
Yeah.
They are out there in
In
every
LA
city,
too.
all over the country. The LA one has been 24 hours for a very long time. Like, there are sustained protests that are just not being covered by American media.
But also, Black
And
people stay home.
Black people, please stay home and lay
Absolutely.
low. Our, you
Stay
know,
home.
other people of color, they looking for you specifically. So just like, lay low, do what you can to support your community as
Yeah.
well.
All right, so we're gonna wrap it up on that note. The community, the doors of the church are now open.
Thank
yeah,
you for letting me get my little shit off, you know.
we'll see y'all sometime soon. I don't know when exactly.
Eventually. I'm
Yeah,
about to
we'll
have
see.
all the time in the world because this nigga's going back to school.
Yeah,
Yeah.
summer's already over, so we don't have time, So
Exciting time. Yeah.
yeah, that's it. We'll see y'all soon.
Later.